today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. We're learning more about the man who killed eight people in a shooting rampage in Allen, Texas over the weekend. CBS's Omar Villafranca is there.
Two sources tell CBS News that the shooter had a patch on his clothing that said RWDS, and they believe that stands for Right Wing Death Squad, associated with extremists and right-wing neo-Nazi groups. But investigators also say that they're trying to see if he may have been associated with the cartel or prison gangs.
His motive is still a mystery, but investigators now confirm that he had formal weapons training and had been discharged from the U.S. Army for mental health issues. Down in Brownsville, Texas, police are still working to identify victims of a deadly crash that killed another eight people, some of them migrants. Police Chief Felix Soseda.
It has been a very tiresome process, but one that we are deeply committed to doing and accomplishing. We are working with the Venezuelan government right now, and we have also reached out to other embassies.
Police haven't said whether the driver hit them on purpose. With Title 42 set to expire on Thursday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's now deploying a new National Guard unit to help Border Patrol deal with an expected influx.
They will be deployed to hot spots along the border to intercept, to repel, and to turn back migrants who are trying to enter Texas illegally.
President Biden wants to hold airlines accountable for scrapping or delaying flights. CBS's Stephen Portnoy is at the White House.
American air travelers deserve better, and that's what we're going to do. That's what we're doing here today.
He says his administration will put a rule in place later this year, aiming to force the airlines to compensate flyers for meals, hotel stays, and ground transportation.
Cash, miles, and/or travel vouchers whenever they're the ones to blame for the cancellation or delay.
The Justice Department says it wants Stuart Rhodes to serve 25 years in prison for seditious conspiracy. The Oath Keepers leader was convicted last week for what prosecutors describe as a violent plot on January 6 to keep President Biden out of the White House. Rhodes has spent the last year behind bars in Virginia. His lawyers want him to get credit for time served. Now, this next story may make you cringe.
Peter Brennan was fast asleep inside his room at the Hilton downtown Nashville hotel when he awoke to a nightmare.
A gentleman, an employee of the Hilton, assaulting me.
Sucking on his toes, he says. Police say it was the hotel manager, 52-year-old David Neal, who allegedly made a key card to gain access to the hotel room and entered around 5 a.m.
CBS's Matt Piper says the guy freaked out and now that manager is facing charges. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs, ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In business, everything your employees do impacts your brand, including what they wear. Cintas has high-performance workplace apparel for almost every job imaginable. From work shirts and pants to polos and khakis to Oxfords or T-shirts, these clothes move, breathe, and look great. Your team gets the styles they like, you convey the image you want. And Cintas service includes weekly laundry and delivery. To learn more, visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know.
Fond du Lac police are investigating a shooting Sunday night at the Maplewoods Commons. A 20-year-old woman is dead and two others are in critical condition. Police are searching for three possible suspects who are considered armed and dangerous, but say there is no threat to the public. However, the public should continue to lock their doors and windows. New artistic lighting is going up in Stevens Point today. The second installation of the artistic lighting project is being installed along the Green Circle Trail near Pifter Pioneer Park today around 1:30. It's called Fish On and designed by local artist Mackenzie Biadege. The light looks like a stick figure holding a taut fishing pole. The first installation, Singing in the Rain, was installed in the spring of 2022. If you have a design idea or would like to donate to the project, contact the City of Stevens Point via Mayor Mike Wiesa's office. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 45, northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 71. Lows dip down to about 49 tomorrow night. Mid-70s Wednesday, upper 70s Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 53.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, Robert. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, PE, did you... I better... I had my double mic on there. That was me. How unprofessional.
It was a little echoey. I was wondering what that was.
Well, you get to hear my great voice twice. No, just kidding. Hey, we have a Ho-Chunk meeting here, show here the first half. And the second half, we have Dr. Stately of the Native American Community Clinic. But first, we have our Arvinia. And, you know, I just messed that up, Arvinia Martin. And I just choked. And we are really excited to have you on. I've heard so much about you. And, you know, we're on Civic Meeting. We're all over Wisconsin, in Madison, and all over. And, of course, here in the Twin Cities, you are the first Native person to be serve as alder from 2017 to 2022, and you also served as the council vice president. So I am really excited to have you on here, and I'm also excited to talk about your job now with Emerge Wisconsin. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Honey Chuck Jock. Good to see you. I have to practice my Ho-Chunk when I can.
Right on. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives. You see, I threw that in there.
I did.
Cool. Hey, so I love what your organization, maybe you can just tell a little bit, I just touched lightly on it a little bit to our audience all over Turtle Island, who you are, and then also we'll get into Emerge Wisconsin, which I think is an awesome group, and that's from all over the country here that there's an Emerge. So that's tell everyone who you are.
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Arvinia Martin, Ho-Chunk Razra Ho-Hapchi Kere Wiga Higaire. My Ho-Chunk name is Ho-Hapchi Kere, and I'm really, really happy to be here with you. As you mentioned, I was the first Native person. A lot of people like to say first Native woman, but I'm the first Native person to be elected to the Madison City of Madison, Wisconsin Common Council and I was first elected in 2017. And I completed 2.5 terms and served at the end of my term. I was the vice president of the council and only left when I got the job that I have now at Emerge Wisconsin, because I wanted to make sure that both jobs were being done. You know, they're two really important jobs, and making sure that both were being done up to the standards of the people that they serve, it was really important. So I started about a year ago as the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. And Emerge is an organization that trains Democratic women on how to run for office. And it is a program I completed in 2014. And I'm really excited to be leading this really amazing organization now here in Wisconsin.
Let's talk a little bit about that organization, because I know we have similar organizations, not specific for our women, but we definitely have organizations here in the Minnesota that promote our native electors and help them. We have a lieutenant governor here who's Native American, and we also have three representatives and one state senator who all have been on my show and come on my show on a regular basis. And we just celebrate the fact that we have all these strong women here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you guys are a little jealous in Wisconsin, but we're so happy.
Very jealous. Actually, I was able to not meet in person, but I was able to virtually meet and get to know a little bit your Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, because while she was running, I was running for Secretary of State here in Wisconsin. So that was in 2018. And so we were both cheering each other on from the other states. And yeah, you guys, I am jealous. I am jealous that you have Native representation and so much of it. That's super cool.
Well, and we were really, really supporting Tricia Zunker in yep. that gerrymandered areas. The person that got more votes than her, it's just hard for us to understand. But then gerrymandering is a big yes. thing.
Yes, and that district has gotten further gerrymandered. Wisconsin is pretty much known as the most gerrymandered state in the country, unfortunately. And we are hoping that with the election of justice-elect, I suppose, Janet Protasiewicz here in Wisconsin, that switches the control of the state Supreme Court from conservative to progressive. We're hoping that we'll get a second chance to look at maps, and that we'll be able to bring that someone will bring a suit to hopefully, fingers crossed, change some of it and maybe go to a fairer model if we can. Wow. We are really hoping.
Well, and we are so happy. We had Janet Protasiewicz on, and I practiced on her name, as you probably can realize. I practiced a lot, and she was on her show. Excellent. And elections do matter, and there's no such thing as an important election anymore. They're all important, and I'm so excited for our Gen Z, because they almost outvoted my demographic, which is a boomer. And you can say, okay, boomer, anytime. you and Haley can go, okay, boomer. But that's exciting, and that's game changing.
It really is. And we are actually, and part of the work that Emerge does is, like I said, training Democratic women on how to run for office. But we're also focusing on what is called the new American majority, because in the next decade, the electorate of the United States is going to be majority BIPOC, you know, so people of color, queer, young, between the ages of 18 and 35, and unmarried women. So we are really looking at Emerge to be finding candidates and finding people to participate in our trainings that fit into that new American majority. And actually, I believe the latest stats that I've seen from the 2018 election show that demographic, that new American majority, is already voting big time and made up the majority of that electorate. So you know, you're absolutely right. We need our young people to be engaged and to continue to be engaged for every election. The quote, less sexy races that happen sometimes in the spring in Wisconsin, we have them every spring. So, you know, you got to go every time.
Yeah. Well, and I think we talk about the politics and everything on the show. And one of the things is if you are like I was, my father was a big union guy, and I voted from the day I was 18, and it was Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, and I lost my first election. But when you vote that young, you're liable to vote the rest of your life. And so that's important for us to get people out there to vote. Hey, let's take a quick break here and talk some more. We gotta pay the bills, and we're here with Arvina Martin, and I did good on that. Yep, thumbs up. You know, yeah. And we are talking Wisconsin, Madison politics, and just politics all around, and her great job with the merge of Wisconsin. And we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses and light rail for just $30 with a summer student pass. From June 1st through September 5th, students can get unlimited rides on buses and trains up to a $3.25 fare. For a list of participating schools and to purchase a pass, visit metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass. Again, that's metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Yes, it is, and we are really happy to have them sponsor us over the years, and they do great work here in the Upper Midwest. Hey, we are here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, an organization that trains Democratic women on how to vote for office. Well, let's talk a little bit about you know, how we get Native candidates, and how that happens, and how you can help them. And let's start the process in the beginning here, because I know there are people out there that could be running, and I always hate the word should, because I don't like shooting on people, but should be running.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many people and so many members of our communities that are thoughtful, that have great perspectives and connections within their own communities and care about their communities, and their voices 100% need to be heard. on elected bodies. Through Emerge, I worked with one of our partner organizations, Wisconsin Progress, recently to create a presentation that we gave at the Wisconsin Indian Education Association annual conference last a couple weeks ago. And it was based entirely on why we need more Native people on school boards and what to do if you're considering running for that, running for your school board. I firmly believe that we need more Native voices on every elected body in this entire country. We are woefully underrepresented nationwide and in Wisconsin as well. It's even hard to find statistics on numbers of Native people who are elected to various bodies. But the presentation that we did was well received. We had way more guests that came to participate and listen to us than I anticipated, which was incredible. And I think we were able to plant some seeds and to, you know, make sure that people know that you know, the first thing people ask is like, well, am I qualified? Yes, you're qualified. You are absolutely qualified. In the context of school boards, are you a Native person that's been to school? Yeah. Okay. You have those experiences? Yeah. You can share that, and your perspective is sorely needed. And we have school boards that, you know, still hang on to their terrible Native mascots who won't let, you know, Native people wear or Native students wear eagle feathers or beadwork on their graduation caps, you know, and those are even kind of like the lighter, with air quotes for people who can't see me, issues that don't even touch on making sure that all students in their school districts are learning a proper history and are being educated about Native people, Native history, and Native people today. So I think that school board is kind of the easiest way to think about, or the easiest position to see yourself making a difference and understanding what you do, because sometimes it can be kind of nebulous. What do you do on city council or county board? Right. And school board, you know, it's pretty clear, working for the better education of children in that district.
Right. And not banning books and things
not
like that.
Banning books. Yeah. I mean, even especially with all of the things that we've seen happening in Florida and Texas, you know, those decisions have effects on school books go like nationwide, and they are trying to take things out. Like the reason why Rosa Parks was, you know, arrested was because she sat somewhere she wasn't supposed to, completely omitting the fact that she wasn't, quote, supposed to sit there because she was Black.
Right.
And it's absolutely absurd. And we need some people that understand what that impact has on our youth and you know, both Native and non-Native.
Right. And I think, you know, just being active, we talk about, you know, let's get everybody out there to vote. Mm-hmm. But also active, what is going on with your neighborhood, especially school board? I mean, these decisions are for our up and coming workers, leaders, voters, mm-hmm. And those are big decisions. You know, I was a teacher for 30 years, but I also remember certain teachers in my lifetime that really inspired me, and we're losing teachers. I was at a event today, and there was three school districts there looking for people to, you know, St. Paul and Minneapolis, which are the two big ones here in the Twin Cities, are looking for paraprofessionals, teachers. And so we feel beat down, and we don't have the support. And we need people that are engaged, and also, mm-hmm. You know, we need Native people too, because I was on the parent committee for many years. And those are, you know, things like the district saying, you know, we 56% of our Native kids graduating is a good thing. And I'm saying, you yes. know what? If this was white kids, this would be all over the news, and this would be the red alert would be hitting. But right now, it's okay that we have 56% Native kids graduating, and those kind of things.
Well, and this is how we start to build the bench, and then we have Native people by starting with local offices like school board or city councils, town councils. Then, you know, you build up some of those skills and those with legislating, and you get to make those connections that you can have to run for higher office. And then that's how we get more people in our state legislatures. And hopefully in Wisconsin, we can catch up to you guys with the number of Native legislators you have. And then, you know, those are the people then that will support better pay for teachers and educational professionals, right, who work in the schools. And then they can run for Congress. And I mean, that's not always the way that has to go. If you look at Charisse Davids, her first race was for Congress, and that was incredible. But, you know, we can build this bench with Native people. And heck, why, you know, when people, I feel like I like to answer a lot of questions about, like, how many do we need? And I think about the Ruth Bader Ginsburg quote, when there are nine, you know, when there are nine women on the Supreme Court, when that's enough, sure. But, you know, we need Native people everywhere at every level of government, because not just because we need people making sound decisions and having sound, you know, different perspectives, but also these are the people that work with our tribes and our tribal governments. And how, I know that I worked quite extensively, you know, when I was on city council, making people aware of issues that affected tribes, or how complicated it is to work with agents, you know, multiple federal agencies, state agencies, local agencies, and tribal agencies together to get a single project accomplished. Like, that is like a decades long process. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, it's just, I'm also very, feel very strongly, and I'm adding to our curriculum here in Wisconsin for Emerge, a kind of Tribes 101 section, so that any of my graduates that go out will have an understanding of what treaty rights, what that phrase means, why they have to work with tribal governments, why tribal governments are peer governments and not just another, quote, special interest, that these are peers that you need to work with. And we need it all. We need way more representation. That's kind of my goal, you know, is to expand what being a candidate means, and not just for Native people, for other communities that are underrepresented. But I'm starting obviously with the Native community, because I know the Native community better than the others, obviously. Right. And that's where I can start.
Well, you know, and we only got a couple minutes left here, and I just want to say, breaking the glass ceiling and becoming a common council for Madison is huge, because, you know, our lieutenant governor talks about, and also State Representative Heather Keeler talk about constantly, that they go into that building was not made for them. We have big paintings, sculptures of Native Americans bowing down to the white people, and
oh, Lord.
It's all eerie and weird, but it's a place that wasn't made for us. But with you breaking that glass ceiling and leading Emerge, that's you've done it. You're doing it. You've done it, and that's huge.
Well, to that point, a really quick story. I was invited to the White House earlier this spring to talk about the impact of a lot of the Biden administration policies on Wisconsin. And when we were in the what's called the Indian Treaty Room, which curiously never had any treaties signed there with Indian tribes or with the Native.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The first Spring Nakusa Arts, Crafts, and More show took place this weekend at the Nakusa Community Center. Activities Director Heather Sayers said she plans for only 31 vendors, so everyone has plenty of space to display their items.
These crafters put their heart and soul into the crafts that they have made, so I want to make sure that they can bring and show as much as they have.
Heather accepts applications on a first-come, first-served basis, but tries not to double up on similar items.
No two products are exactly the same.
She's selective on who is accepted for the show, so customers have a unique quality experience.
I like to cater it towards crafters who have homemade products.
Applications aren't open yet for the spring show next year because first comes the Nakusa Hometown Christmas, the first weekend in December.
I'm just actually working on the December one, so I'm putting that application out probably in the next week or so.
Follow the Nakusa Community Center Facebook page for updates. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
I'm William Shatner, and I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to pva.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 45, northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 71. Lows dip down to about 49 tomorrow night, mid-70s Wednesday, upper 70s Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 53.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Day gift, tickets, and more at croonerslounge.mn.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And we have the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here, Dr. Stately. And Dr. Stately, it's a busy time. It's always a busy time for you, but it's a busy time for you. And I really appreciate you coming on and running home really fast. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Sorry, bonjour, everyone. I'm sorry I'm late. It was crazy getting back from the Capitol to my house. So, yeah.
Right. Really, and you weren't late. We
94. So,
you weren't late. You were right on time. We had a guest before you, and to warm up, warm up the microphone, so to speak, for you.
Warm
now,
up the audience. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Prime the audience.
Exactly. Well, do you want
your jokes better than mine or no?
It was pretty serious. It was pretty serious. We were talking about Emerge Wisconsin with the executive director and how we get more women to run for office. And so that was pretty intense and pretty exciting. And it was a Ho-Chunk lady that was on. So it was three Ho-Chunks on, and it was crazy.
Oh, God.
You know how many there are? Huh?
I said that sounds like a party.
Yeah, exactly. So, big happenings at the Capitol here coming up on the 10th, I believe.
Yeah, so the 10th is in 2 days? Yeah, 2 days. Mm-hmm. There's a number of things that are moving, and things are moving kind of rapidly at the Capitol. I had a meeting with some people from the governor's cabinet before I left for the day, and as I was walking out, I heard like this raucous cheering and, you know, screaming and hooraying. And, you know, and I was like, you know, gosh, I wonder what's going on. And it was like people gathered outside the Senate chambers, right? So this is and they were all excited and cheering the passage of the family medical leave bill. So it passed along party lines, 34-33, which is, I think to be expected. So, but that's a big deal. Like, people will be able to, if they have a critical family event or a critical health issue, and or they have, they're pregnant and they give birth to a child, or have a child. They'll be able to take the leave that they need to be able to sort of take care of themselves, stabilize their families. These are all things that are really important and fundamentally, good practices. Nice to know that the state passed the bill. NAC adopted a FMLA policy, giving everybody that leave a couple months, several months ago, maybe last summer. But it's good to institutionalize it. It's like one of the things that, if you are a poor person and you are working, you don't have the resources to, you don't have a nest egg saved up and you don't have the ability to sort of take time off. These are one of the critical reasons why maternal and child health rates are so, one contributory factor, at least for poor maternal and child health rates for Black and Indigenous women in our state. The feeling like the compulsory feeling that you have to go right back to work, right, after having birth, and not paying attention to your health care and taking the time to heal and bond with your baby. And there's all kinds of things that it sort of like makes a lot of sense to pass that bill.
It really does. And again, proud to be a Minnesotan here. And, with Wisconsin's struggles and what we're doing with the trifecta, people in the next generation or two generations from now or 5 years from now, just like, all the big thing about gay marriage and stuff, would probably be wondering, why didn't you pass this a long time ago? This just makes so much sense. And we're living in a transitional time, I believe.
I think that there's, I was listening to that other radio station we don't really talk about on the way to work today. And I was, you know, there was a person on the air that was talking about like how much of a, you know, critical time we're living in at this moment in time. There's so many things that are going on locally, regionally, but also nationally, internationally as well, that are sort of like just big transitions in, you know, and democracy and power and, and how unsettling those things can be, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we know as Indigenous people, because we've been through this so many times, and this experience, we've been, you know, going through this process for several hundred years by now, that, you know, the impact of colonial power, the impact of colonialism, you know, and those things weigh especially heavy in our communities and impact our people, and you know, much more greatly than some industrialized and wealthy nations, right? So.
Right. Well, and I don't know. I feel really positive about what's going on up there, and you know, and the things that are happening. And tomorrow we're going to have State Representative Heather Keeler on the whole show tomorrow, and that'll be exciting because we haven't, you know, checked in with her since the session, and she's been so busy being a rock star. But you know, one of the things I'd like to ask you is, I think it takes a big toll out of people that really care. The ones that don't care that much are living happily ever after, but I think it takes a big toll on people because there's so much they're carrying for us, you know. Do you see that with our elected officials that are really kicking butt?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm, you know, I have good relationships with a number of elected officials who I either know as colleagues, we worked together in the past, or I've worked with them on other things. I have a fairly decent relationship with the elected officials that you know, represent the area in which, like, NAC itself as a nonprofit operates in, which is South Minneapolis, and you know, and the communities that I serve and that our clinic serves. I have good relationships with those representatives. They're, you know, they are working day and night and day to improve the lives and the conditions and the environment and the neighborhoods that they serve and the people that live in those neighborhoods, with organizations like mine and other services and other kinds of things. But they are constantly giving significant amounts of themselves and their time and their energy to the you know, improving the conditions legislatively that they have the ability to sort of impact in the work they do. They're, you know, it's a really busy time at the Capitol right now because their end of session is like 2 weeks away. And so people are working day and night and day, sometimes around the clock, to try and get those bills passed and negotiations accomplished. And, you know, it is, you know, fundamentally for me, it is baffling to me that we are having, you know, when I say we, our legislature is a little divided still, even though the Democrats control both the House and the Senate and also the governor's cabinet. But there's still a significant amount of, you know, differences in opinion, and those both the House and the Senate, there's narrow margins of you know, in those places. And the amount of challenges that presents for being able to come to consensus and to reach agreement, and you know that our state has the largest surplus in money that it has ever had, writ large, and you know, its history, and we're quibbling over, you know, millions of dollars and who should right. get those things and tax breaks and a few other things. And, you know, still struggling with like conversations around, you know, what's equitable tax for people who are wealthy? What's equitable for, you know, when, you know, the health inequities and the social inequities and the educational inequities and all these other inequities that we see in Black and Indigenous and other people of color communities, just historic. I don't like to call them disenfranchised communities. I'm really intentional about language. I think language defines the way we see the world and the way we talk about it. And then the decisions that it drives from that point forward. And, you know, we're not talking about, disenfranchisement here. We're talking about generations and generations and generations. So decades and hundreds of years of disinvestment in communities of Black and Indigenous people that have also no access to generational wealth,
right? Right.
And so the conversation about like, well, should we give paid family medical leave to people who are, you know, too sick to work, or they have an emergency issue, or they give life to a child, which for Indigenous people is like one of the most precious things you can ever have, right? It's like that conversation, the fact that we can't come to agreement and understand how fundamental that is to support is like problematic to me. It's a defining feature of the problems in our society.
Amen to that. Right on. Hey, I'm here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. Got time for another segment with us?
Sure. Yep.
You're golden. Hey, we're going to be right back after this short break. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Over 98% of people who experience sexual harassment or sexual assault in the workplace choose not to report it. Whether it's the fear of retaliation, belief that a bystander will report it, or worry about career advancement, at MJSB Employment Justice, we help employees take a stand. I'm Bree Johnson, partner at MJSB Employment Justice, a 50% women-owned law firm. If you feel unsure what to do following sexual harassment, we will be your voice to speak your truth.
Be heard. You deserve better. Contact us today for a free consultation at mjsbjustice.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Oh, darn, I thought we were going to howl. Ho!
Ho!
Ooh. This portion's also brought to you by Hauling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
Right on. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And it's always good to catch up with you about what's going on in the community. Looks like Dr. Stately's playing with his dog. We howled and his dog gets a little crazy, so.
He thinks he's being called to be on the radio.
Well, that other radio station you listen to probably would never do that. So I feel proud that we are calling our relatives with tails and hooves and big ears and noses and stuff.
Hey, don't talk about me like that.
I was talking about myself, but anyways. I got little hooves, though. That's probably the only difference.
Well, you know, don't feel inadequate when you're standing up.
Okay. Wait a minute. I got to find the right sound effect for that. Yeah, there it is. One more time. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I had you know, a weekend that was quite busy. So I honestly did not track news at all during the weekend. Like I didn't listen to any major stories and watch 60 Minutes. I didn't, you know, I barely listened to that. You know, the only thing I listened to the other radio station on was that's my favorite thing to listen to on Saturdays, by the way, is Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, yeah.
We should come up with our own version, our indigenous version of Wait, Don't Tell Me. We got to find a couple of really funny people, like maybe Dallas Gold, too, and a few other people to do our little Wait,
Wait a minute. Episode. You and I are funny enough to pull that off. Come on.
Probably, yeah. But the point is on Wait, Don't Tell Me, the hosts are funny, but then, so is the studio employee or the staff, but you know, you invite somebody in to come on and they compete against your everyday, we could call some random person off of a res somewhere and have them compete against Dallas Goldtooth to see who's funnier. I bet you have some good challenges from some places.
Oh, we have a plethora of comedians here that would probably be good to start that off on.
Yeah. We'll have to think of indigenous way to say instead of wait, don't tell me, be I don't know, something else hey, did you hear that story about so and so?
Wait, give me the fry bread. Oh, wow.
There you go. Yeah.
Or all the old 49er jokes, but we won't get into that now either.
Oh, yeah. This is a family show.
That's right.
But yes, I was busy with hockey, four hockey games in 3 days.
Wow.
It's quite a bit. All of them are up in the North Metro because I'm that dad that didn't sign them up in time to play down by our area.
Oh, jeez.
Busy working for the people.
Right.
So I drive them up to North Metro every single hockey game, and it's been quite a lot over the last couple of weeks. But my kids are, and their team, they love their team. They're skating with all new people that they haven't skated with before. Wow. And I think it's interesting. It really is a metaphor for me, I think, in some ways, to watch them sort of excel and perform on the ice in ways that I hadn't seen them perform before. And one of the things I was thinking about was they're playing, they're working with a whole bunch of people they've never really actually skated with before. They have to, pay attention to the game and see what's going on. They got to anticipate and try to intuit and expect where the people that they're skating with on the ice are going to show up next. They got to anticipate where that puck's going to end up. It's a whole lot of work that they have to do. And I'm shocked at how well they performed over the last couple of weeks. They've won every single one of their games in the last 2 weeks.
It's good that they're playing with other people. I think that's probably a thing you can put there, because you always want that's a great people, you get better when you play with different people, you know.
Yeah, so you get better. You get better when you play with different people. You get better when you play against teams that are harder, that are you know, more advanced than you. Like, right. Everything about that requires you to sort of like step up, step forward, and really stretch yourself if you want to excel, right? And so I think that's a really good metaphor for like the way we think about like how do we sort of like find our path out of the things that we are struggling with in our communities now, right? And in our cities and our states, our regions, if not the country. It's like, you know, think about like, you know, like stop going to drink from the same trough and eat from the same plate you've always eaten from. Like, think about like how you might be able to improve on your own sort of like personal and professional mission by working with somebody you haven't worked with before. Invite innovation and idea and generation and intuitiveness into your everyday life in a different way. That's uniquely an indigenous model to, I think, the way of operating in the world, you know.
Yeah. Well,
I think historically we stayed in one spot, but we traveled all over Turtle Island and worked together on all kinds of things, right?
Absolutely. I remember 15, 20 years ago, I had a team teach with somebody, and that was because of something. And I didn't really like that, but I'm telling you, I carried so many good things from this person I team taught with for a couple of years that changed my whole career, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first it was fear. It's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to learn anything from him. I do film and video. What's this math teacher going to teach me? But he taught me how to teach in a good way that I didn't do before.
Yeah. I think it's also about, like, opening ourselves up to, you know, like one of the things I think I know, like, I just think like when I talk to elders, they're like, you know, they even talk about how they're learning something new all of the time. And one of the things that we are uniquely sort of that's part of our indigeneity is like we consider ourselves to be lifelong learners, right? Creator put us on this earth to, you know, sent us here as spirits and then gave us a set of original instructions that are sort of kind of loosely defined, right? You know, how to operate on this planet and be a good human being and good relative to each other, but really kind of gave us a framework and then how we interpret that framework and apply it and sort of in our everyday lives and our lived experiences, you know, to use the intuition that he gave us and one of the seven senses we gave us,
yeah,
to sort of like interpret that and to use that to sort of go out in the world and be a good relative and to create. To create new life, new relationships, new life, life-giving and life-supporting, you know, opportunities. We've been doing that since the beginning of time. It's part of what is definitive and unique about us and our indigeneity, right? It's part of why we are so resilient. You know,
we're still here. We are still here. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Doc. Yeah. Go ahead, Doctor.
We can't be put down. You know, there's that Cheyenne proverb that says the heart of a nation is undefeated until the hearts of its women are on the ground. And it speaks uniquely to like the you know, women are the symbol of life creation and the creation of all things. So it's just
wow,
good thing to remember.
Wow, really good words to end the show with. Pinigigi, Dr. Stately, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work.
but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.